Good morning, UCF East and friends. Sa mga naka-tune in po sa ating live streaming, good morning din po sa inyong lahat. We thank the Lord for giving us another opportunity to come together and join our hearts and our spirits to worship Him. Sing praises to His name and magnify Him in our prayers, in our study of His Word. Let us all rise and join me as I read our call to worship passage found in Psalm 33, verses 1 to 9, and then 18 to 22. So, let us read Psalm 33, verses 1 to 9, and 18 to 22. Let's read. Shout for joy in the Lord, O righteous. Praise befits the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with a lyre. Make melody to Him with a harp of 10 strings. Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all His work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of His mouth all their host. He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. He puts the deeps in the storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope in His steadfast love, that He may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart is glad in Him because we trust in His holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. Let us pray. Lord, yes, we hope in you. We have seen your steadfast love in our lives, in the lives of this church. And we bless you, Lord. And we thank you. And as we worship the Lord this morning, may your Holy Spirit lead us, Lord, into a worship that will give glory and honor and praise to your most holy name. For our worship is all about you. Our singing, our prayers, our study of your word is for your glory and for your honor. May you find us, Lord, worthy to worship you this morning. For we pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's all remain standing, and let us join our hearts and our voices and our praise team as we sing praises to our God.
Good morning to you all. Okay, to all those who are here and to all those who are viewing online, welcome to GCF East. Especially to those who are new. So, you know, friends, the beauty of being a believer in Christ is that you are able to remember, or we are able to remember everything about Christ, His birth, His death, His resurrection, in any day of our life, right? So, non-believers are celebrating it too, just like what we are doing, going to do right now, communion. However, may certain times sila na ginagawa yan, di ba? Pag months lang ng December, they are remembering Christ's birth. But we are so privileged because every day we are able to remember this. And so Jesus is so distinguished, even by non-believers, right? If you will notice, our year has BC or before Christ or AD in the year of our Lord. So, throughout the generation, Jesus is very known and distinguished. It never fades. So He is our morning star. And siya talaga yung star for all season. Hindi po si ATV. Kaya let's praise Him for everything that He has done in our life. Alright? So let's bring praises to the Lord. Let us delight in giving Him praise. Let's come, people of the risen King.
Thank you.
overall. One thing I've realized in the during the lockdown, sa COVID, nothing is really sure about our life. Kung yung matatandaan niyo yung famous basketball player na si Kobe Bryant, namatay sa crash, yung sarili niyang helicopter. So it means that no one can really boast, you know, riches and fame or health cannot save us. But one thing is for sure, we have our Savior. So the scripture tells us that we are just mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. So whatever we plan, the Lord is still the one who takes control of everything. But what comforts me to know is that our citizenship is not here. We are citizens of heaven. And so naisip ko, kung tayo'y taga ron, di ba, dapat mas maramdaman natin na mas excited tayong pumunta sa ating bahay, di ba? Kumbaga hindi tayo nag-worry, kahit ano mangyari sa mundong ito, hindi tayo taga rito eh. Kaya I was able to go out after a month nang hindi pag-work. That fear was gone because of what He did. And Jesus said, because He lives, we will also live. So let's sing, because He lives. God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy your pardon. An empty grave is death to prove our Savior lives. Let's sing, because He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. How sweet to hold.
this child can face uncertain days because he lives.
Let's sing.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future.
For the last time, say,
because he lives,
because he lives,
I can face tomorrow, because he lives, all fear is gone, because I know he holds future, and life is worth living just because he lives, and life is worth living just because he lives.
You praise you, Iggy. We praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You may all take your seat. Salamat po, praise team. And a good reminder, because he lives, we also lives. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Right? So for our announcements this morning, Our reminders, health reminders, health safety protocols during our worship services. Let us always remember the following safety protocols as we continue to gather in person here in our church. Let us keep our face mask and face shield on at all times and be mindful of social distancing. Hopefully, dumating na yung mga COVID vaccines po, no? Pag umabot sa atin yung mga yan, maybe we can have a little more freedom in our worship, in our gathering, I mean. If you have not done so, please make sure to drop your contact tracing form after writing down your temperature in it in the designated drop box before leaving the premises. And then kindly exit the sanctuary right after the service. If you must socialize, pick an area that is not congested and has free airflow. For your own safety, we encourage you to bring your own filled water bottles to church. Please make sure that the covers are secure so as to avoid cross-contamination. water dispensers will not be available. Thank you for your understanding. And then always reserve a seat for in-person services each week. Only 100 seats are available on a first text first serve basis. 100 seats are filled up, you will be given priority to the following week. Those ages 15 to 65 be allowed. Hopefully, the government will lower the age bracket sa mga bata and itaas naman yung bracket sa mga senior citizens natin para makasama natin sa worship. So text your name, following cell phone numbers, 0922-246-1282 and 0915-703-3042. Please reserve early, preferably before Saturday, so we can prepare the contact tracing form early on Saturday. Cancel your spot as soon as you know you are unable to make it so that others can take your place. Online Children's Sunday School. We would like to remind everyone again that we have an online children worship every Sunday. Videos are posted at 7 a.m. on the GCF East Sunday School Facebook page. Encourage your children ages 15 and below to be part of this special time of worshiping our Lord. Young adults, YA, ladies, virtual Bible study. We are inviting all young adult ladies to join this virtual Bible study via Zoom every Saturday starting at 2 p.m. Right now, they are engaged in the study of the Gospel of John. To join or for more information, please text or Bible Sister Leigh Porzuelo at cell phone number 0916-912-0413 or Sister Cindy Delormente at cell phone number 0927-163-8707. I have two mics. Okay. All right. Saha car stickers. So if you have cars and you're using it to go to church, St. Anthony Homeowners Association or Saha car stickers are now available in the administration office. Please see Deacon Dennis Edu to purchase the car stickers for 150 pesos each. Okay po, so kung may mga kotse kayo, just see Deacon Dennis para po makakuha kayo ng stickers. Alright. So now, we come to recognize our first-time visitors or first-time guests sa ating worship service this morning. So if this is your first time to join us for worship here in GCF East, I would like you to please stand up from where you are seated so that we can recognize you. And we can welcome you with our song, our welcome song. So any first-time guests in our midst today, wag pong mahiya. Hindi naman po kami. We just want to recognize you and greet you. And if ever have more time of fellowship with you. Meron po. Alam ko meron, pero nahiya. So let's all stand and let's welcome one another with a bow, with a wave, or a smile as our praise team sings our welcome song. Intro lang po yun.
Ganun talaga, tao po tayo, nagkakamali po tayong lahat.
Okay.
Kumusta ka na? Kumusta ka na? Uy, nagagalina na ikaw ay makilala.
Makilala.
Kumusta ka na? Kumusta ka na? Ako'y nasasabing na ikaw ay makasama.
Magandang pagmasdan,
sa magkakapatid.
Sa magkakapatid
na nagkakaisa, naging sama-sama tuwing na.
Huwag kay gandang pagmasdan.
Huwag kay gandang pagmasdan
na magkakapatid.
Sa magkakapatid
na nagkakaisa, nagpupuri sa presensya niya. Nagpupuri sa presensya niya. Ang nagkakaisa, nagpupuri sa presensya niya.
Okay. May all take your seat. Salamat po. Before we give our offering this morning, I would like to read 1 Corinthians 10:31. 1 Corinthians 10:31 reads, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." And that includes giving our offering to our Lord. May our Lord be glorified as we give our offering to Him today. Join me in prayer. Lord, we thank you. You have been faithful, Lord, to us. You have provided, Lord, for all our needs as a church and even, Lord, as individuals, as families. And we praise you, Lord, that you always provide for your children what we need. And Lord, now it's our time, our opportunity to bring back, give you back a portion of what you have given to us. May you bless the giver and the gift. May everything redound for your glory and honor. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. And as we have been doing since we started meeting face to face, we request that you drop your offering to the offering box located near the entrance of the sanctuary. Sa may pintuan po. For those of you watching our live streaming, you can still give your offering through online bank transfer to Green Hills Christian Fellowship East, Inc. BPI Peso Current Account Number 4091004203. Second, online bank transfer to Green Hills Christian Fellowship East, Inc. UCPB Dollar Savings Account Number 11152000636. And last, GCF East PayPal account. We can access at gcf-east.org/give/ in our church website. Thank you and God bless.
Let's sing our final song for the day. I encourage you to stand up and sing with us. We'll sing Lift Up My Eyes. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Pray with me. Loving God, we are humbled by the truth that we can approach you without being consumed, inasmuch as we know that we are depraved by default. We're your enemies. Dead in our transgressions, but God, being rich in mercy, made us alive and poured upon us the love that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Lord, we have been saying this every week. Yet, Lord, we pray that this familiar truth would not escape our minds and may the profundity of the simple familiar truth always draw us closer to you, drive us to our knees in humble gratitude and worship. As we come to you today, as we ponder upon your truth, your word this truth, may we so be embraced by these truths that it would change our lives, our convictions very beautifully for your utmost glory's sake. Speak to us, O Lord, as we open Holy Scripture. Holy Spirit, give us understanding and allow us to live out the timeless truths that we can glean from an ancient song. We ask that you would allow the meditations of our hearts and minds and the words that would come out of my mouth be pleasing and glorifying to you. This is our heart's cry with much thanksgiving in the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen and amen. Good morning, everyone. Yon, that's more like it. Exactly a year ago, the fourth and fifth case of COVID-19 in the country were confirmed. I was in the States then. One of whom was actually from Cainta. After a week of seeing the number of COVID-19 cases go up from 15 to 130, with 6 confirmed deaths, the government declared certain key areas of the country to be under quarantine. A year has passed. In fact, a couple of weeks from now, we'll be celebrating the anniversary of the quarantine. It was at the end of March that I was able to go home. It has been a year. When in my quarantine, in the other room in our house, that I wanted to reach out to all of you that we started our daily devotions. It was in the last weeks of March that we did our video preachings and messages. Dear ones, it has been a year, and we still remember the struggles that we went through. From lining up for hours just to get your groceries, diba? To driving along an almost empty Ortigas extension. Very convenient, yet very scary as well. I remember one Friday night in May, as I was recording the message for our worship service, that I broke down in tears. You see, I love studying and teaching, but I love doing those with all of you. Just to see your faces, to see those look in your eyes when you seem to don't get it, and to look into your eyes glow when I know that the Lord has spoken to your hearts. Then I uttered a prayer saying, I miss the church, Lord. I miss the church. But throughout those difficulties, God has led us to the book of Psalms, hindi ba? And it has been very, very helpful. Beginning April, we looked into choice Psalms. And after 29 weeks of looking at choice Psalms, God has led us to look into a particular section of this book of Psalms, and we looked into the Songs of Ascents. And fittingly, first Sunday of December, wherein we started our very first in-person worship celebration, it was in God's providence that we were looking at Psalm 122, which reads, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. And diba, gladness indeed filled our hearts. Because we know that inasmuch as we appreciate technology, inasmuch as we appreciate having the virtual worship celebration, and we never stopped, dear ones, we never did. And I praise the Lord for those tireless volunteers, those who were willing to put together our video presentation just for you, from the singers who recorded in their own homes, to those who did the editing and the rendering for the videos to be shared with all of you. We never stopped because of pure love for the Lord and for all of you. And bragging aside, I think we got better But again, dear ones, nothing beats being with each other regardless of the physical distancing. Diba? Regardless if I can't see your faces clearly, or I can't see if you're smiling at me or you're, diba, frowning at me. It has been 4 months now since we started doing our in-person worship celebration. And I truly praise the Lord for that. For how God has been so faithful in sustaining all of us. Diba? But I know, I want to be sensitive to those who still cannot join because of health and age restrictions. And let me just say, those who are watching right now, we miss you. We're longing for you. We're praying for you. Now let me ask you, why is it so important that we gather together? Why do we long for that? Bakit parang hindi pwedeng palitan ng video presentation for yung magkakasama tayo? What makes your heart glad, dear ones? If we ask you, tell me, how did you feel when we first gathered together last December? How does it make you feel? What does unity in the church mean to you? If you would ask me that question, I would say, how does it feel like? It's like the precious oil on the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. And you would say, what? Can you say that again? Can you make it simpler? Yeah. How does it feel like? It's like dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. Dear ones, we are now in the 14th psalm in this collection of psalms. And as we look at this wonderful song, we will see three truths about Christian unity. Why we long for us to be together. Psalm 133 celebrates the togetherness in unity. So if you're not there yet, I'd like you to open your Bible to Psalm 133. And in reverence for God's word, may I ask everyone to please stand as we read together this wonderful section of Scripture. Psalm 133, a song of ascents of David. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. May God bless the reading of his word. You may now take your seats. Again, we're looking at the songs of ascents, a collection of 15 songs that the Jews sing together as they go up to the holy city for the holy festivals, as commanded to them by the Lord. They were commanded to go there 3 times a year to worship, to offer sacrifices. So these events are things that they look forward to. And these songs, I believe, they have memorized by heart. Imagine doing this for the rest of your life. Every year, of course you would memorize this. How many Christmas songs do you know by heart? These are just 15. Right? Fittingly, the journey ends when they were in the temple ready. And Psalm 132 may be one of the songs that they sing at their final approach to the sanctuary. The last three psalms focuses on Mount Zion, focuses on Jerusalem, focuses on that city wherein God's people gathered together and just appreciate the presence of the Lord, the tabernacling of the Lord, if you will. The last time we were together, we said that these three songs focus on the certainty of God's promise, Psalm 132, the unity of God's people in Psalm 133, and the beauty of God's blessing in Psalm 134. Again, Psalm 132, when we were discussing this last week, discuss about David bringing back the ark to Jerusalem. And we saw then that the reliability, that God is reliable, that God is faithful. Psalm 133 now speaks of the relationship between those who are in this journey. Psalm 132, we had 18 verses, right? And our psalm today only has 3 verses. And some of you may say, yeah, praise the Lord. We would be finishing early. Let's see. Psalm 133 speaks of unity. But we need to consider, dear ones, the context. What is this for? Songs that they sing on their journey up. We need to be reminded of the considerations of a family. Let's say a family decides to go up to Jerusalem for the holy festivities. They would be traveling on foot or perhaps on a cart, right? It would be days of traveling. So they need to carry food, cooking materials, and other stuff. Diba? Beddings, perhaps. Imagine a family bringing their kids along. If they had toys then, they need to bring their toys so they would not be bored. Not to mention the animals that they need to bring for sacrifice. Surely there would be struggles, diba? As the family goes on this road trip, I don't think it's far-fetched for us to say that there would be fighting. There would be a version in their context of fighting in the back seat between kids. Can you imagine the struggle of a husband and a wife during the journey? And remember, the terrain is very challenging. They need to go up, not to mention the bandits and the robbers that could victimize them. Did I mention that they travel in groups? Diba? So we have multiple families, right? Going up to the city. I can imagine one of the family's animal being mixed with your animals. Can you imagine the exchange of words? Can you imagine the misunderstandings? And as they enter the city, imagine, friends, it's not just them. There would be a sea of mankind there. Remember, I know it's going to be 2 years ago. Remember the last time you went shopping on a Christmas rush? Pilgrims faced not only the potential of disharmony within the individual families, but the tension of getting along with others as they compete with the same resources that they need. Lodging, food, water. There would be misunderstandings. There would be struggles. They need a song to remind them. They need something to encourage them. Friends, that is why we have Psalm 133. So that they would be encouraged to at least defend or maintain or avoid this unity as they go up the holy city to worship the one true God. And beloved, we too as a community, diba? We have our own struggles with each other. Sin that remains in our own selfish pride would always disrupt harmony and unity in the church. And so inasmuch as the pilgrims to the holy city needed a song to remind them, we need this song as well. We need God's word to teach us. And I'm really praising the Lord that we have Psalm 133 to encourage us about unity. Now before we begin our study, we are told who the writer is. Look at your Bibles. It reads, A Song of Ascents of David. Now, as this song is a song that celebrates unity, we need to be asking, when did David write this song? We know for a fact that David's life is defined by struggles, diba? defined by troubles. He was anointed to be the next king. And that led the sitting king to be going after him. Diba? He wanted him dead. When King Saul died, along with his other sons, in fact, he did not die in the hands of the Philistines. He actually committed suicide. Because he would rather die than to be tortured by the Philistines. Anyway, when King Saul died, there was one of his sons who was proclaimed king by his captain Abner. His name is Ish-bosheth. Right? During the time, the tribe of Judah knew that David was supposedly the king. And so they proclaimed David as king. Imagine the struggle between the Benjaminites and the tribe of Judah. So there was a struggle between tribes. Later in David's life as king, we know that he had a son named Absalom. He wanted him dead. And so we can imagine his longing for peace, his longing for unity, his longing for harmony. But just when did he write this song? We don't know exactly when David composed this song. But one likely occasion was when David was finally received as king over all the tribes of Israel, ending the war. It could date from the crowning of David at Hebron, when the leaders of the nation were, for a time at least, of one mind and one heart. And so under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we have this beautiful song written by David, a man after God's own heart, to encourage our hearts about the blessings of Christian unity. Today we'll be looking at the three truths about Christian unity. And we have three headings, three verses, we have three headings. In verse 1, we would see that Christian unity is good and pleasant. Christian unity is good and pleasant. In verse 2 to verse 3a, we would see Christian unity is from God. God is the source of Christian unity. And in verse 3b, we would see Christian unity is a blessing. Let's look at the first heading. Look at verse 1. Behold. Stop right there. Doesn't that get your attention? It's an exclamation. It is indeed an attention getter. It is like David saying, hey, listen up. I have something very important to tell you. This Hebrew word translated as behold can only be found twice in the entire book of Psalms. Psalm 133 and Psalm 134. That is why most commentators take Psalm 133 and Psalm 134 as a pair. And so we ask, what is it, David, that you are calling our attention to? What is of great importance that you implore us to listen to you? Look at verse 1 again. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. David wants us to marvel at something good, to marvel at something pleasant. He wants us to see how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. Dear ones, unity is what he is drawing our attention to. And he'd like us to see that it is good and it is pleasant to be united. With regards to unity, David said it is good. What do we mean by good? We need to define good, because if we would just glance it over, then we would be left with thinking that good is not an objective good. What is good for me may not be good for you, right? It is good for me to be preaching for 2 hours, and that would not be good, right? So what do you mean by good? That word good means excellent, means agreeable, means beneficial. In fact, did you know that this is the same word that we read in the creation account. In Genesis, we would read multiple times, and God saw that it was good. In verse 9, in verse 12, in verse 18, in verse 21, in verse 25, climaxing to verse 31, where we read, and God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Simply put, dear ones, something that is good is something that is good in the eyes of God. This good has God's stamp of approval. This word good means intrinsically good. It is good in and of itself. It is good meaning it is what God meant it to be. And therefore, this objective good is not subjective. This is good in the truest sense of the word, as defined by our good God. And so with regards to unity, if this is good, coming from the good God, where we see objectivity, it is our duty then. If this is what God meant it to be, then it is our duty to be united, since this is what God meant it to be. But notice, dear ones, it is not just intrinsically good. According to this song, it is also pleasant. The word translated pleasant is a word that means beautiful, sweet, pleasurable, lovely. In other words, it's not only good in God's sight. Listen, it's also good for you. It's also good for you. Not only is this a duty, it's also a delight. And dear ones, let's not miss that simple word, that conjunction N, because that is very important. It is not saying it is good yet not pleasant, or not good yet pleasant. It is both. When brothers dwell together in unity, it is both good and pleasant. And I love that we see that in Scripture. Right? Why did I say so? Because there are those who are that are good but not pleasant. There are those that are pleasant but not good. Lechon is pleasant but not necessarily good. So you claim. Sabi ng iba, that's why we have maintenance medications. There are those that are good but not necessarily pleasant. Hebrews 12, verse 11. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Right? Proverbs 25, verse 16. If you have found honey, eat only enough for you, lest you have your fill of it and vomit it. We need to be reminded that there are those that are good that are not pleasant, those that are pleasant but not good. But with regards to unity, the Bible says it is both good and pleasant. It's good because God meant it to be this way. It's pleasant because it's good for you. And when we say unity, friends, it does not mean uniformity. People wearing the same type of clothes, same color of clothes, doing the same things in unison doesn't necessarily mean that they are united. Diba? So what kind of unity is this talking about? Look at verse 1 again. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. In the immediate context, this is indeed talking about brothers with regards to race, diba? They're all Jews. These people who are in pilgrim, who are journeying to the holy cities, are indeed Jews. But I believe it's talking more than blood relations or even racial relations, but rather a spiritual relation. And the context again points us to a group of people going up to worship God. So therefore, the timeless truth and principle that we can see here, beloved, is that Christian unity is both good and pleasant when there is unity among God's people with one resolve to worship and glorify God and live for Him. It is good and it is pleasant. Did you notice that David had in mind the relationship that God's people have with one another, not with the world? Yes, believers should have a good testimony. But here the focus is on relationships among God's people. Listen to Van Gemeren as he comments on this. This song, he says, was especially relevant for pilgrims traveling together for Jerusalem. During the pilgrimage, the Jews enjoyed an ecumenical experience on their way toward and in Jerusalem. They would pass by some other people. The pilgrims came from many different walks of life, regions, and tribes as they gathered for one purpose, the worship of the Lord in Jerusalem. Pansinin ulit natin itong verse 1. Did you see that this unity is mentioned with the word dwell? Diba? When we dwell together. Why is that important? Because this means that this unity will be tested as we dwell with each other. In many ways, it's easier to have some kind of unity with those distant, diba? To dwell together means the bonds of unity and peace will be tested by time. As a believer in Christ, you don't get to choose whether you or others be part of God's family, diba? But we are part of God's family. And so the question here that we need to ask is that, how do we live our part as children of God? Will you live in unity? Will you fight for that? Will you maintain that? Will you preserve that? Will you promote that? Or would you live in disunity? Now, this might come to you as a surprise, but we know the dynamics. Brothers and sisters, even the blood relations, right? There are times that we don't get along. Tama? We find examples in the Bible. Cain killed Abel. Joseph's brother sold him into slavery. Diba? Even the disciples of Jesus had arguments with each other. And as Christians in the church, we don't always get along well. To be honest, right? There's an old poem that goes like this. To live above with saints we love, oh, that will be such glory. To live below with saints we know, well, that's a different story. But listen, since this is good, intrinsically good, as defined by our good God, and since this also brings delight, we should maintain that. We should keep that. Now, just for curiosity's sake, I tried to look for psalms, different psalms, that I would find the word good and pleasant together. I only found two. Psalm 135, verse 3. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing to His name, for it is pleasant. Psalm 147, verse 1. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and a song of praise is fitting. Dear ones, that is glorious. This tells us, listen, that unity that is good and pleasant is rooted in God. Meaning as we agree in the Lord, meaning God and His truth is the common ground by which we can be united. And this unity is also grounded and manifested with our desire to praise and honor Him. It is good. It is pleasant. And since it is good and it is pleasant, as we look at James chapter 1, we know that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming from the Father. I pray deep in my heart that this is speaking to your hearts, as it has spoken to mine, and it is speaking to my heart right now. In the book of Acts, we see the church described with a remarkable unity. We read in Acts chapter 2, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And all believers were together and had everything in common. They broke bread in their homes, ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. What a beautiful picture of unity. Diba? So let me ask you, in all honesty, can we say the same in this body of believers? If we know that there are disunity, would we agree in the Lord? Are we willing to go look for a common ground? And that is God's word. Dear ones, to be together, to be united, is good. It's pleasant. It is our duty. And it is our delight. Now, David doesn't want his readers, he doesn't want us to miss this objective truth. So he gives us two illustrations. And that brings us to our next heading. Here we see two word pictures, and this is where it gets a bit hard. So let's look closely to verses 2 to 3. Here David uses two liquid illustrations. Look at verse 2. First he said, it is like the precious oil on the head. The word precious in this verse is the same word that we find in verse 1, translated good. Unity is like good oil. It's like special oil. It's like precious oil on the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the color of his robes. One single verse that is packed, that grows and expands as we look at each phrase and each word. What is oil? In the Near Eastern culture, oil is a very important commodity. Napaka-importante ng oil sa kanila. Oil can be used for cooking as well as for medical use. But as we look at this verse, it's not just oil, but precious oil. It's an excellent oil. It's beneficial. It was good in God's sight. Then this precious oil, as we would look at this verse, is poured on the head. And that depicts refreshment. That depicts freshening up. It's very common in their time to anoint one's head with oil. Sometimes as you enter a house, you would be greeted by someone from that home, and they would anoint your oil as your head with oil as they receive you, so you would smell good, you would be refreshed. So this special oil is refreshing. But as we read on, we see this precious oil that started on the head now runs on the beard. And so we are being introduced to a particular oil mentioned many times in the Old Testament. It is the oil of consecration. Those who are joining us in our study on the book of Exodus, in Exodus 30, we would read about this special oil. You would read about its recipe, its ingredients, how they make this wonderful oil. What do they do when they mix this? In chapter 30, you would see the degrees of holiness required for this particular oil. The priesthood alone is to be anointed by it. Only the priest. It was forbidden from anyone else. Just the priest. They cannot make this for themselves, for personal consumption. And as you read chapter 30 of Exodus, you would read there would be consequences that awaits anyone who would try to copy or replicate this oil. The point is that this is a special oil, a very precious oil, and that the entire ceremony was demonstrated in the ordination and the involvement of God to set the high priest apart for ministry. The oil poured in his head represents his consecration to the priestly service. What is the priest? What is his duty? He represents God, man to God. And please, this is glorious. What does this oil have to do with unity? The high priest had a uniform. Diba? He had an ephod. And on each shoulder, there is an onyx stone. Each onyx stone have 6 names inscribed. 6, 6, 12. All the names of the tribes are there. He also has a breastpiece with 4 rows of precious stones of 3. And on each stone is the names of the 12 tribes. He had a beard. Not because it's fashionable. I wish I can grow a beard. No, it's part of the uniform as prescribed in Leviticus 21. Right? So imagine this high priest being anointed with this precious oil, and the oil is poured down on his head, going down, running down his beard, running down his garments with the names of all the tribes of Israel on it. This glorious, friends. And now we come to a very particular person. Aaron. Running down on Aaron's beard. What's so significant about Aaron? He is the very first high priest. He was the very first one to wear the priestly garment. He was the very first one consecrated by Moses himself with oil, the very first one to enter the Holy of Holies to represent the people before God on the Day of Atonement, offering sacrifice, assuring the people waiting for him outside that forgiveness of sins is good for a year. Listen, as we read this, we know that the high priest does not enter the Holy of Holies as an individual. He enters the Holy of Holies as a nation. This is profound. Listen to Derek Kidner. He says, the figure of anointing portrays a people as differentiated, but also as integrated. As a priest and his robes, a people among whom God's blessings are not the preserve of a few, but are free to spread, to be shared, unifying the recipients all the more. Just as the anointing oil intended for the head was not confined to it, nor could its fragrance be contained. Simply put, dear ones, it's pointing us to unity. The high priest do not enter the Holy of Holies alone or as an individual. He enters there representing the other tribes. Talk about unity, diba? And kindly note, dear ones, the direction, the language that David used in this psalm. Three times we read running down on the beard, running down on the colors, which falls on the mountains of Zion. Telling us that this precious sacred spiritual unity highlighted in the directional emphasis, running down, flowing down, in the truest sense, is from God. We cannot conjure up unity. It flows down to us. Therefore, dear ones, we cannot invent unity. It's not about a small group program. It's not about an event or any other initiative. True unity comes from God Himself. It is sacred. It is special. It is precious. It is a gift. We cannot make ourselves more united than we are united now because it came from God. A very good God. All we need to do is maintain and fight and preserve that unity. Ephesians chapter 4 reads, verse 1, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The unity of what? The unity of our church's branding? The unity of what? The unity of your favorite and preferred pastor? The unity of the Spirit. Friends, we cannot create or recreate unity. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. And our role is to maintain it. It is good. It is pleasant. It's from God. And one way to maintain it, one way to fight for it, is go back. Go back and be in awe of the gospel. Why would He save you in the first place? And as we are gathered together here, Jerry Ragg puts it this way, we sinners need to stick with each other. Dear ones, the gospel did not only reconcile us with God, it also reconciled us with each other. A beautiful picture of unity. Look at that verse again. Did you notice how the picture points us to excess? Did you notice that? Starts with the head, flows to the beard, now the garment, it's telling us excess. Isn't that like the fellowship that we have? In this congregation, we have people from different walks of life. Diba? Different age group, different background. In fact, we are blessed to have people from different nationality. And after our worship celebration, diba? Before the pandemic, and even right now, during the pandemic, I see people still staying together, talking to each other. Sa labas naman. Right? Because that's natural for us. That's a beautiful picture. When you go outside, diba? It's a beautiful picture of unity coming from the Lord, flowing down, flowing down, flowing down. We cannot create this. Affects everyone, right? He has a picture of abundant grace lavished on us. This image conveys a spirit of joy that exists among God's people who dwell together in unity, to live together in spiritual oneness, in fellowship, in worship, in mission. It's a blessing. It is refreshing. It is energizing. It's a pleasing aroma to God. Unity blesses the entire body. It has a beautiful effect. Unity makes the church smell good. I wonder how we smell to the outside world. Huwag niyong amoyin katabi niyo. As if this is not enough, David goes on and gives us another word picture. Look at verse 3. What about unity? It's like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. Now, Mount Hermon is a majestic mountain, over 9,000 feet above sea level. It's located to the north of Jerusalem. Since this is a tall mountain, every now and then you would see snow on its mountain peaks, causing dew to go down to nourish the region. As the ice melts, it has become the major source of nourishment over the Jordan region. Now compare Mount Zion with Mount Hermon. Mount Zion is on the south part of Israel. It's much smaller. It's very arid. Very little dew. Very little rain. No moisture at times. So we have two very different kinds of mountain. Hermon to the north. Zion to the south. Hermon towering over the other mountains. Zion just part of the range. Mount Hermon cool and refreshing. Mount Zion hot and dry. What an amazing thing is that it would be the Mount Hermon, the dew falling on Mount Zion. Let's modernize this illustration for our sake. Remember when you visited highlands, let's say Baguio, Mountain Province, di ba? Or Tagaytay, di ba? We, people from the city, when we go up there, When we marvel at the mountain ranges, di ba? The cool breeze, wow, it's so calming. It's so refreshing. It's so nice to breathe in air that you cannot see. And that is exactly what happens with Christian worship, Christian fellowship. It's very refreshing when we gather together. When we see each other with a busy week that we have, with our stressed out lives, the Spirit of God blesses us with refreshment. We leave the sanctuary, di ba, refreshed. Even in the pandemic. No, especially in the pandemic, right? Dear ones, you need to be reminded of this. We need to be reminded of this. The word falling here is the same word that we saw running down. Once again, this tells us that this is from God. It's something we receive from the Lord. Apart from God's blessing, we would be like Mount Zion, dry, arid. But God, in His providence, sends dew from Mount Hermon and bless all our souls. That is what Christian unity is about. Diba? Words would not be enough to express to you how I feel whenever I'm with all of you. When we started meeting together, it's been 4 months now. Can you compare how you felt before? Now? It's refreshing. Yes, it does not take away the pandemic, but it is encouraging. The psalmist says that unity of God's people is nourishing and life-giving. It's from God and from God alone. And so may I ask, how are we modeling this? Are we like a breath of fresh air? Or are we suffocating because of our self-interests and self-gratification? Are we all committed to one another? for the glory of God? If you're a born-again believer, you're not an only child. You belong to a much, much bigger family. We all have been baptized by the Holy Spirit in the body, into the body of Christ. Spiritual unity, dear ones, is good. It is pleasant. It is from God. It's like fragrant oil, soothing. It's like morning dew that refreshes the soul. And this leads us to the last heading. Christian unity is a blessing. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. There. The word there, I think, reaches back to spiritual unity illustrated twice. There in that spiritual togetherness, sweet and fragrant like oil anointed on someone's head. There in that spiritual unity that is so refreshing and life-giving. There, Yahweh, David says, the one who is faithful has commanded blessing. I was actually expecting David to be using the plural form blessings, but it reads just the singular word blessing. Why is that? What is this singular blessing? Life forevermore. It reads that blessing falls at Yahweh's command, at God's word. Remember in Isaiah 46, we know that God's counsel shall stand and will accomplish all His purposes. There is sovereignty in God's word. When Yahweh speaks, it will come to pass. The blessing falls at His command. When God says life, it happens every time. And as we observe this text, we know that it points back to Zion as well. What is Zion? A picture of the togetherness. A place where God's people gather to worship God. Listen, this does not say that unity would produce eternal life. No. But what this is saying is that when God's people relish and cherish that precious unity that is from God and God alone, when we find delight there, it is a foretaste of eternal life. It is a foretaste of heaven. We are given a glimpse of heaven. Not perfectly. If you are a born-again believer and the person beside you is as well, you would see each other and just glory and just worship and enjoy God forever. Christian unity is a glimpse, is a foretaste of heaven. That is why we ought to be committed in preserving, loving, and maintaining peace and unity in our community. We're in the Old Testament, right? We saw that the people sang this song as they walked up the hill. All of them share the same ethnicity. Diba? Their union, if you would say, is both nationally and naturally. They knew a kind of unity in Israel, but only in part. Only in part. It was a foretaste of unity in the new covenant. As the Spirit of God is poured out on all of God's people, all were made partakers, all were made participants, all are united in the great high priest Jesus, who prayed to the Father for their perfect unity. As a witness to their unbreakable connection, we in this side of the cross experience far more, better unity as the pilgrims experience. Yes, God united them as a nation. Look around you. We're not blood related. Diba? We are closer than you think. God was preparing something much better, something much glorious. And we who have the whole counsel of Scripture, we know that it points to Revelation, where we see all tribes, all nations, all tongues united in worshiping our great God. And so, dear ones, even with physical distancing, we are given a foretaste of heaven here. Let's maintain that. Let's fight for that. Let's promote that. How? Go back to the gospel. Go back to the gospel. In ending na po. Okay? Let me read to you John 7, the high priestly prayer of Jesus. Starting with verse 20. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me, and love them even as you loved me. Talking about unity, we know that we are an audience of one. God is the only one we worship and please. But in the high priestly prayer of Jesus, there's another audience, that the world may know. As we go back to the writer of this psalm, what he experienced is very tragic, the tragic opposite of this song. His house was divided, as we see a son going after him, willing to kill his brothers. And we on this side of heaven, we know that we really have struggles with each other, diba? We have misunderstandings. You know what? We need to be reminded that we are united. We are united. Not perfectly. But as I look at all of you, I'm reminded of what I will be in and I will do for the rest of eternity with the Lord. Dear ones, Christian unity is good. It is pleasant. It is from God and God alone. Flowing down. We cannot invent that. In as much as we try to make events, we cannot invent unity. It is a blessing. It is a blessing. What kind of blessing? It's a foretaste of heaven. It's a foretaste of heaven. So come quickly, Lord, and bring the full fruition of unity to your people, as you promised. In the meantime, Lord, as we are here in this side of heaven, may we see it lived out. May we see it preserved. May we see it protected. May we see it celebrated. May we see it maintained. May we see ourselves, Lord, truly united, worshiping you and you alone, for your glory and glory alone. In Christ, our high priest's name, we pray. Amen. As we go to our communion, one of the ordinances that the Lord has instructed us to remember, let me read to you a beautiful passage in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off, been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, So making peace and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. Dear ones, as we remember this beautiful, beautiful act of love, act of grace, through and by which we are united, let us examine our hearts. If there are divisive thoughts in our hearts, and if there are, let's ask the Lord to forgive us. Dear ones, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he was with his disciples, his friends, friends that he loved so much. As they were celebrating the Passover, he took bread, broke it, gave thanks to the Father, and said, "This is my body, the body that will be crushed for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Dear ones, as we remember that gracious act of love, be reminded that we are reconciled to God and reconciled to each other. The gift of God, the people of God, united in Him. Let us worship our Lord. After supper, Jesus took the cup, that cup of redemption. Again, he gave thanks to his Father and said, "This is the cup of my blood, the cup of the new and everlasting covenant, the blood that will be spilt for the forgiveness of sins and the cleansing of your guilt. Do this in remembrance of me." As we remember that precious blood poured down for the remission of our sins, may we understand that we are reconciled to God and reconciled to each other. The gift of God to the people of God, united and one in Christ. Let us worship the Lord Jesus. Pray with me. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your love. We ask for forgiveness, Lord, for the many times that we, rather than maintain and promote unity, we try to build more barriers when you have broken down all the barriers. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful opportunity to remember you, and we pray that indeed we have remembered you, our Lord, our Savior, our God, our great High Priest, the one in and through whom we were united. We pray that indeed this is a celebration of unity, not perfectly, but Lord, incorruptibly, because it's from you. Thank you for showing us that unity is good, it's pleasant, it's from you, and it's such a blessing because it points us to you when we get to see you face to face. As we depart this place temporarily, kindly bestow upon us your blessing. May God, who is Creator, Sustainer, Redeemer, find each one of us appreciating more that unity, grateful for the bond that we have, maintaining, preserving, and fighting for that, agreeing in the Lord and His Word, as we all together live for Him while we're here waiting for His coming back. Wherever we are, wherever we go, whatever we do. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you, everyone. Ingat po kayo.